Okay, welcome to the next session. So I will be talking about CuXaVal and in-vehicle access to standardized VSS signals. I will tell you what it is. I hope I can convince you that it's a good thing and you want it, but let's see. I'm Sebastian, I'm part of the CuXaVal project, and when I'm working for ITERS on vehicle software. So ITERS belongs to Bosch, if that is something that's more familiar to you. So yeah, this is about automotive software. So let's get started. We will start like very high, you know, like sky high, and then I promise we go down to code, so there should be something for everyone. First thing is, what's CuXaVal? It's an open source software project, so I'm not totally at the wrong place here. First time for me, first time for CuXaVal, I think. CuXaVal doesn't stand alone. Actually, it's part of the Eclipse software-defined vehicle working group. So Eclipse is one of those many happy homes that exist for open source software. And the Eclipse SDV working group, that's basically a bunch of companies and people interested in automotive open source software and a couple of other interesting projects beside CuXaVal, but we're focusing on CuXaVal. You could say Eclipse SDV, it shares the software-defined vehicle mindset. So what is that? I mean, later just Google it. You will see that's basically the latest and greatest hype in automotive. So whenever somebody tries to sell you automotive software these days, they will probably put their SDV stamp on it. So what does it mean? That's also, I can only give you a very broad thing. So it's a little bit of a marketing thing. But what it normally promises is faster updates. Like, I mean, today maybe you have a phone and you get a stream of updates for 2 years, and if it stops after 2 years, you're pissed. If you have a vehicle, it's a bit different. Maybe if you're lucky, after 2 years, you get an update with some emergency patches, and yeah, you should feel pleasantly surprised about that. And SDV is a little bit about making this better in cars, that you have more like these apps and software functionalities added later and not so much big blob of firmware that we only update in emergencies. It's often you hear this term 10 times faster development, not 10 times faster than you are maybe as IT guys, but 10 times faster than automotive is currently. Because a lot of software there comes rightfully so from the mindset of like deeply embedded stuff, you know, embedded for real men and women, engine controllers, real-time ECUs, and there, I mean, of course, it is harder and a slower process to develop software. But somehow it has taken over also to the higher levels of your vehicle now, so even your infotainment doesn't update as fast as maybe your Android phone. And that is something SDV promises to change, many companies promising that, so that will make you as a user of vehicles more happy, developers more happy, because finally they can write software for vehicles, or it gets just cheaper, makes corporations happy, so that's, yeah, SDV is awesome. Just Google it, lots of press releases about it. So how do we do it? The point is, in IT we can already do it, so it's pretty easy, actually. We take all our favorite tech stacks we know and love, which are super productive. We put a bunch of beefy hardware. Okay, we need a little bit more hardware, but there is some understanding that's coming to automotive. It might make sense to invest a little bit more on hardware to get cheaper and more productive on the software side. And we put it all in a vehicle. Done. Problem is, I mean, we do it. It's pretty cool, right? I mean, maybe you have your Kubernetes cluster in cars, and I'm not joking. People think about that and doing that. So you can probably deploy WordPress easily, right? And if you put good enough hardware, I think your Doom framework will be pretty acceptable. Of course, there are challenges, right? I mean, it's a vehicle where you drive around yourself with your family or things like that. So probably thinking about safety and security is a good idea. And we come to that a little bit later in the talk. But the problem is, if you put all these in your computer, if you don't have any access to the vehicle's hardware, if you can't actually interact with the sensors and actuators in the vehicle, yeah, then maybe it ends at deploying WordPress, right? You can't do all these fancy automotive applications you have in mind, and that is sort of the challenge. It doesn't help you just putting all these tech stacks on there. What does it... Huh? Let's see, we're stuck here. Okay, so what does it mean to access vehicle hardware? So mostly the most interesting part on a vehicle is really signal based on a very low level, and you have maybe two kinds of interesting things: sensors, how fast am I, and simple actuators. Maybe you want to open the trunk, open the door, engage the wipers. Now you might think, no problem, I read about Linux, it has CAN interface, automotive, I just enable it and off I go. But of course it should be pretty clear that it's maybe not a clever way to just let anybody who deploys some software in my vehicle interact with all the bus systems and all the hardware in the vehicle, just for safety reasons alone. And of course you want your vehicle still to move. So that's probably not a good idea. Second challenge is just the way how automotive software evolved. in a vehicle, let's say the serialization, the data formats are very much not standardized. So even a simple concept like vehicle speed, how it's represented in bits and what's the data type and what's the unit and things like that, that is different from each manufacturer to each manufacturer, from model to model, from model year to model year. So that's a big pain if you want to write a piece of software that runs in more than just one vehicle. Luckily, because we don't have so much time, challenge two, the second one is solved, or is in the process of being solved. There's something called the COVESA vehicle signal specification, link at the end of the talk, so yeah, there's some homework maybe for you. The point is that's a very simple data model describing signals in a vehicle. It uses like identifiers which are based on a tree. That's just an example. In fact, it's much more complex, but you can already, I think, see the gist of it. Like here we have something like path, like vehicle, chassis, axle, wheel, tire, pressure. So you already have an idea what it is, what it might be. And the VSS defines then also like what would be the data type of this, what would be the unit, maybe hectopascals, I don't know, don't quote me on that. And if you have that, and if your software stack integrates it somehow, then interoperability and portability would get much easier. But the question is, that's a data model. So it's actually a nice YAML-based file format. You convert it however you like, but it's not live software. So how do you bring it to life? And that's a question, where would you use these kind of nice abstracted model? And two things, talk again about this real embedded layer, probably